You make me angry because. You make me sad because. They can't deal with the sadness and the behavior. So you want to keep it with the behavior. Because the behavior, the feeling would be the same no matter who did that behavior. It becomes about the towel being on the floor rather than about what a schmuck they are for leaving it there. Or how stupid they are that they can't remember to pick up the towel and put it away.
The second thing I don't quite know how to language the problem, this is a big one for me. I was raised in a household where everything was no, don't do this, no, don't do that, no, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I've recreated that with Nancy because Nancy has a very set list on how she wants most of it done.
Right.
Okay. And I have this rebel inside me. And I can feel that I'm concerned about my anger. I'm frightened about my anger. When all this then starts coming up to, I can clearly hear that this is now my past.
Mm-hmm.
Her lecturing Jonathan that this is the way things are going to do, I can go.
Okay, but she wouldn't be here if she wasn't going to change that. So this is not just for children. This is also for adults. If you are in an intense situation with your spouse or with an authority figure or anybody, you can do this. You know, I get angry when I am told what to do. It's a blanket statement. It doesn't matter who's telling me. It doesn't mean I'm angry with you because you told me what to do. It's I personally get angry when anybody tells me what to do. I don't like being told what to do. You not only have a revelation for yourself, it releases the anger, and they're not left with having to do anything about it. It's just a statement about yourself. So you don't have this, well, but if you did what I told you to do, we wouldn't be, and then this back and forth stuff. It's just simply a statement. I get angry when people tell me what to do. Yeah, well, I'm still going to tell you what to do, so get on with it. Or it shifts. It shifts in you because you've spoken how you feel.
I can feel myself shaking.
And then you can listen to what's being said. But it keeps you from getting into this battle of the wills. You messages usually lead to battles of the wills. This is why people have so many problems with their teenagers. Because it's you, and you think about yourself as a teenager. It was you. You at school, you at church, you at home, you with your friends. You. You do this, you do that. You didn't do, you did do. And you can't hear it because it's too much. You can't change the behavior and the emotion. But yet, I get angry when the towel's on the floor. You can fix that. I get angry at you when you leave the towel on the floor. It means you not only have to pick that up, but it's not going to solve my anger unless you never, ever forget to do it again.
I mean, you're the type of person that does that. Do you mean that you're the type of person that does that?
Right. Right. And that's where it affects their self-esteem. Mm-hmm.
What about teenagers?
We're having a whole session on teenagers.
Because I have teenagers.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out that you're trying. When my kids are just really doing nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're going to talk about emotions. Have you taught your children about emotions? How to express emotions?
Have I taught them?
Have you taught them how to express emotions? Have you taught them the word frustrated? Sounds like you're frustrated.
Right now?
Yeah. See how her response has to be, yeah. Teenagers are no different. But they don't generally have the words. Any child is no different. When my son is sitting there and he tried to stack these blocks this high today, Duplos. Only he had only had a base this big. So what do you think happened every time he stacked it? This way he'd fall down and he'd scream. Because he wanted it to stand up and it wouldn't. It didn't have a fat enough base. Well, I could go over there and say, well, honey, if you put a fatter base, you know, it would stay up. What would that have done? I don't want to. This is my creation. Don't you come over here telling me how to do my creation. What, do you think I'm stupid? No. I wasn't interested in that. I was interested in how he dealt with the frustration, which was, at 4 years old, they go running and screaming out of the room, top of their lungs, you know, so much that you have to hold your ears sometimes, because that screech that those little boys have is just, ooh, a siren is better. So I'm yelling behind him, sounds like you're frustrated. I am not. Are you angry? I'm not stupid. Stupid. Okay, which one am I going to deal with? Anger, frustration, or stupid? So then he came back into the room, and he tried to do it again. Reaching out of the room at that ear, blood-curdling scream. Sounds like you're frustrated, Michael. Are you frustrated? Must be frustrating doing this 3 times and having it fall down. You have to teach your children how to speak emotions. If you can teach them how to speak it, see, you know what to do as an adult when you're frustrated, right? If you can label something as frustrating, you know what to do about it, right? But we don't think in those terms. We don't think, you know, I am really frustrated right now. I am really frustrated. What we do is we just kind of keep going and hope that it goes away. So that's what our kids do, because they don't have a word for it. They just kind of keep going and hope that it goes away. I'm really frustrated. I cannot get this math problem. I cannot get it. What am I, stupid? I can't get it. That's frustration. If you say it sounds like you're really frustrated, or do you find this frustrating? If they have a word for it, it somehow makes it go away. It somehow gives them more tolerance, just like it gives us more tolerance. If you know that you're frustrated, you can say, okay, I just need to calm down, walk away from it, and come back to it, right? If you give them a word for it, if you teach them a word for it, I'm sad, you know what to do about sad, right? Right. I'm angry, you know what to do about anger. If you can label the emotion, you can find a solution. The problem is that most of us don't teach our children how to emote. And so however they do it, it's like not right. I mean, Michael running and screaming through the house with a blood-curdling scream. After 4 or 5 times, it's like, I can't stand this. I'm going to go out of my mind. I can't. You got to stop. Just stop. You know, stop what? Stop the screaming. Stop the frustration. Stop the building. Stop what? What do I need to stop here? If you can teach them a word for it, they can scream, I'm frustrated. And it kind of goes away. Because then they say, oh, I'm frustrated. Okay, I can get up and walk away from this and come back to it later. So the formula is the same. I feel blank. I feel frustrated. I feel angry. I feel hostile. I feel grumpy. I feel happy. I feel loved. I feel. Now, how do you teach that?
By showing it then.
By speaking it. Most of us, when do we say I love you? When we're proud of our kids or at bedtime. Or first thing in the morning before they start on us. I love you. Geez, I wish I had some pancakes. It would be nice to eat. Joe's mom, she gets up before the kids do and they eat. Sure wish I had some pancakes. Wah! You sound grumpy.
And grumpy.
Whew! Sounds that way to me. So it's the same. I feel blank. I am happy. I am sad. I am. Most parents think that they have to be non-emotional except love, 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 love. This is not possible. You know, they think that they're not supposed to be sad in front of their children or angry in front of their children or frustrated or any of the emotions. They really believe that they're supposed to just always be this upbeat, kind of happy-go-lucky. And these are the kids who go to school and says, yeah, you think my mom's sweet? You should live with her. She acts sweet. Because no matter how much you try, you're not ever going to be that. You start from 0 to 6 as God or Goddess, and you go downhill from there. There's like nowhere to go but down from there. Prior to that, you can't do anything wrong with your children. I mean, they just won't allow it. No matter what you do, they're going to love you. No matter what you do, they're going to love you. So it's important that you teach them emotions. You teach them how to emote. I'm angry. You are. Yes, I am. I can understand why you would be angry. So the first thing you do is you teach them the word. You name the emotion. Even if they don't name the emotion, they're screaming, I hate Joey. I hate him. He never shares his toys with me. Boy, it sounds like you're angry. I'm not. Sounds like you're angry to me. I'm not. I'm not. So the first thing that you do is name the emotion. The more you do that, the more it will become a part of their language. Just like you have to teach children the word love. They know the feeling love, yes? But you have to put a label on it. It's no different with any other emotion. This is why you ask adults, what are you feeling? And they'll say, they don't know the difference between being angry and frustrated. To them, it's all the same. Because you get yourself frustrated enough, you get angry. Who do you get angry at? Yourself, usually. If you knew it was frustrated, you could get up and walk away from it and come back to it. But because we've labeled it anger, we think we have to sit there and work through it. So the first thing that you do is you label it. And they'll tell you, no, I'm not feeling that. Because it doesn't register in their head what that means. They don't associate this body feeling with that word. And then what's the next thing that you do?
You show it.
Show it? How do you do that? Okay. But in your not being around anybody, what are they learning?
Oh, I know it's not safe to be around.
No, not necessarily. They're learning to remove themselves from that situation. How do you teach them to not remove themselves from that situation all the time? So you think you have to be consistent as a parent, right? Consistent in ground rules, consistent in your behavior, but you don't have to do the same thing every time. Do you all know that? That's a fantasy. I don't know where this came from, that you have to always be the same every single day. You're not going to be. If you're human and you're living in your heart, you are not going to be consistent. So the same amount of room for error that you have for your children, you have for yourself. So you got to broaden your room for error as a parent so that you can broaden your room for error with them. Do you say that? So who I'm angry at with is you. And there's nothing they can do about that. There's nothing they, even if they whipped you to that state, there's nothing that they can do about that. There's no solution. So that means when mom gets angry with you, she leaves. So there's just a step missing in between. When mom gets angry at anybody, the way to deal with anger is to take a few deep breaths and then remove yourself from the situation rather than being violent. That's what you want to teach your children. But you have to speak that. Because one and one doesn't equal two to a child. So if when you get angry with your children, you just simply remove yourself, what are they going to think? When people get angry, they leave. Don't get people angry. And this is when you're going to have the fanny kissers. Tell you anything you want to know, anything you want to hear, and then they're out of there. And they want, yes, mommy, yes, mommy. And they pull in at 4 in the morning instead of midnight.
I had an experience with a guy, I think I shared last time, when he had his hot tea, that after the hot tea, he wanted to drink, whatever happened, he went to this major fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself driving to the hot tea class, and I was really, I mean, I kind of surprised myself, but I was really afraid that this kid was going to flip out of me again. And I was trying to formulate in my mind.
But notice it's flip out on me again. That whole thing makes it unresolvable. Children flip out. That's how they test their boundaries. That's how they test their limits. It has nothing to do with you. Just like when you flip out, it has nothing to do with them. They just kind of happen to be there while you're in the midst of your flip out. But you have to teach them the emotion. You have to teach them how to express it. And you have to teach them how to resolve it. So, the way to express it is to state, I am angry. I feel like hitting someone. Your children are going to feel like hitting somebody. I don't care how nonviolently they're raised. They are going to have that tendency of just wanting to deck somebody. So, I am angry. I feel like hitting somebody. I better take a time out. I'll be back in 10 minutes. It leaves them with nothing to do for you. They know that there's nothing that they can do for you, that they are not the reason that you're upset, even if they are. And then when you come back, what do? When you're not angry anymore, you come back and you say, listen, people have a tolerance level. You went over the line. You went over the line. I love you very much. I do not ever want anybody to lay a hand on you. And if this behavior continues, somebody's going to pop you. Somebody who doesn't know how to express anger appropriately is going to hit you. You need to modify your behavior. That's where the you comes in, because they can do that. And it is up to them at that point. So he needed something, and he didn't want to ask for it, so he threw a fit. It had nothing to do with being tired. Children will test these boundaries to see if they work. And if it had worked, every time he wanted a soda, he would drink. It's that quick and it's that simple. That's where this consistency theory came in. You have to be consistent. This is not a natural formula. Talking about ourselves is not natural. The best way to do it when you're in the midst of that emotion is to just think that you're talking to yourself. I feel boom. I think boom about this behavior. Because really, no matter who did the behavior, you would be that upset. I get angry when children hit each other. I cannot tolerate it. Does that make sense as an I message? Yeah, what are you teaching your children? I get angry and hit somebody, and then mom gets angry. This is why it's important that we teach ourselves and teach our children what the emotion is. Do you really get angry when children hit each other? You get scared? You get sad? But do you really get angry? After you get scared, you do. So the first one that we have to identify for emotions is ourselves. And that doesn't come natural. We're not used to talking about ourselves. In some ways, we've been taught to not talk about ourselves. You know, think about other people. All that. But children are going to learn by example. So if you're expressing your emotions, they're going to express their emotions. Problem with this theory is that people only think about doing it when they're upset. So instantly when a child hears an I coming, they're like, oh, here we go. They're pretty smart. Here we go. It's either anger or it's sadness or it's frustration or it's grumpy. Which one is she going to fill in the blank with? They're very intelligent. So you have to also remember this when you're happy, when you're joyful, when you're peaceful. So a good way to do that is to take one feeling that you want to teach your children a week. Take one feeling that you want to identify. Because you have to teach them that this feeling goes with that word. Just like you have to teach them that apple begins with A. Do they know the feeling? Yes. Just like many of us as adults haven't quite figured out what's frustrating and what makes us angry. Or what makes us sad and what makes us angry. It's all lumped into the anger. So you take one emotion that you want to teach them a week. Anytime that that emotion is present, you spend the week identifying that emotion. Frustration is a good one to start with. If you have older children, they'll say, I'm not frustrated, I'm angry. I understand that you're angry. Frustration sometimes leads to anger.